Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
During the week, presenters of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, that'll be Ant and Dec, they had another not-so-subtle dig at Boris Johnson. It's becoming somewhat of a trend for the Geordie duo, because although the jibes are more likely kind of, I presume they're scripted, I don't know, can we expect an off-script political rant anytime soon? From Bob Geldof on Live Aid to Piers Morgan on Good Morning Britain, there have been some memorable moments where TV presenters went rogue on air. And Owen Sweeney is here now to tell us all about them. Owen, I'll tell you about before you tell us anything at all. Tell me all about them then.
Who, Ant and Dec? Yeah. Well, they were in Biker Grove, right? And now they're on telly.
Oh, for crying out loud. Okay, here we go. Listen.
So they've decided to cover it up.
Not a great idea, that, is it?
If we've learned one thing in the last 24 hours, is that you can't get away with covering things up.
No, it will. That will come back to bite them at some point. Might take a year, but it will happen. The situation was as clear as day. We all watched the video of them getting the question wrong. It was obvious what happened. Even Ant and Dec are ahead of the Prime Minister. Sorry.
Danny Miller.
On this one. Don't worry, we'll launch an inquiry or something. Not that that'll do anything.
No. Anyway, back to camp.
So explain all that to me, Owen.
Well, Ant and Dec and I'm a Celebrity are making all the right headlines. It's like a weather vane, really, Dave, isn't it? It's lick your finger and stick it in the air and see which way the wind is blowing. And the wind is blowing definitely against Boris Johnson. Whatever by the Tory party, whatever by the British government, it's about Boris Johnson.
Yeah,
it's about covering up a party.
I got this text earlier on. Say what you want, but these Downing Street parties sound absolutely amazing. Imagine going to a party so mad that you have to carry out an inquiry to find out whether it was in your house and whether or not you went. Pretty cool.
Tracy Thorne from Everything But The Girl, etc., tweeted something similar about a teenage party which she steadfastly denied attending, even though the person's parents found out, went through the bins, at the teenage thing. She still, to this day, maintains it never happened. So it is something that resonates with people. Clearly, people are annoyed at Boris Johnson. It's all about him. It's Ant and Dec. Are they going off script? Not really. I think the producers and themselves got together. They know. They've made a few quips this week, all of which have ended up virally going on Twitter and other social media outlets, needless to say. The show, should I add, was 11 million kind of daily viewers last year. It's 5 point something this year. So perhaps the two things are related. Ant and Dec can do no wrong as well in terms of kind of being beloved, cheeky, chappy, you know, even Ant's off-screen problems, etc. I'm sure Dec has got... I don't know enough about their personal lives and neither do I care.
It's a terrible thing when you say that. I wasn't sure which one had the problem. I remember the problems, all right. Ant. Drinking and
the
all
one on the left.
But it's
great. It's like Jedward. John and Edward.
I know,
it's always
they're
Ant
always
and Dec.
Left and right. I know that. But the other thing about that is that... Do you remember in Love Actually? Well, the thing is, Ant or Dec. It's brilliant. Anyway.
But this... So anyway, basically, was it scripted? Yes. Of course it was. They knew what they were going to do because you wouldn't really want them saying stuff totally off kilter or ad-libbing and perhaps going off kilter.
Are you suggesting maybe that's what we do want next?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's 5.2 million they are on a daily viewership on ITV this time. They're stuck, you know, the whole thing has been beset by storm problems. The programme's not doing very well. But this clip, I didn't watch it live, but I did see it on Twitter. They did about three of them this week. Keir Starmer, leader of the Labour Party, who's now perhaps sensing blood finally, from his point of view, should Johnson go, he might actually stand a chance in an election. He referenced Ant and Dec at Prime Minister's Question Times in Prime Minister's Questions in the House of Parliament this week. So, you know, they're doing what they need to do. And to be honest, it really is kind of, it's all about the social aspect. It's not about politics, because it can get a bit cringy when TV, kind of mainstream TV, goes a bit political. And even the reference there was a bit arch to kind of an inquiry, etc.
Right.
But, and also, by the way, politics is boring and people don't want to hear about politics in TV terms and entertainment terms. So this is definitely about Boris Johnson, the celebrity PM, a tanking TV show, and people being annoyed at them.
Okay, so TV presenters going rogue is what we're talking about. Owen is here, 51552, if you have some that he's forgotten. Bob Geldof, Live Aid.
Well, now, this is an interesting one. What I love about this, Dave, is, now, without looking at your notes... Can you remember what he said?
I'm looking up Verstappen and see should he win. Go on, what?
Can you remember what he said? Because the great thing about...
Oh, don't tell me it's one of these things like nobody ever said play it again, Sam, in Casablanca, is that it?
Yeah, if she can stand it, I can.
Play it, Sam.
Exactly.
Yeah, right, okay.
Now, Geldof, of course, wasn't... Okay, he's not the TV host, but he was the host of the event that was the Global Jukebox that was live on television throughout the world. But the host broadcasters were the BBC, and David Hepworth was in studio, famously, after the Dancing in the Street video. I think we have a clip of it. And, of course, then he's sitting there with Billy Connolly, the future Mrs. Billy Connolly. She may not have been then, Pamela Emma Stevenson, and Ian Astbury, Dave, from The Cult.
Really? Was
exactly.
There, yeah.
So they were going through, this is a time before, you know, popularity of credit cards, you know, basically to give to Live Aid, people were being told to write in, put their pennies,
and the address would come on the screen.
The address would come on the screen.
Gerlof wanted nothing with the address.
He wanted nothing with the address. He wanted phone numbers. He wanted people to empty their pockets and give the money dedicated, ring up and pledge it now. Because it was the phone in, sorry, it was phone in, which people were wary to do, supposedly. Go to the post office or write in and look it.
Okay,
you, you know yourself. If you're sitting at home, you go, ah, yeah, I'll give it to Live Aid. And then you wake up hungover on Sunday and go, oh, God, I forgot to give it to Live Aid. Yeah. I'll do it tomorrow. And you never do.
But the phone.
But the phone. Okay. So Gerlof wanted the phone numbers. And everyone, anyway, go on, play the clip and then we can talk about the myth.
The other thing is that Mick and David did that video specifically so that you could give something, and it's not happening enough. You know, you've got to get on the phone and take the money out of your pocket. Don't go to the pub tonight. Please stay in and give us the money. There are people dying now, so give me the money. And here's the numbers.
Let's
read
go
them out.
The way. No, we're probably going to get the address just, first, aren't we?
No, let's the address. Let's get the numbers, because that's how we're going to get it.
Okay, so hold on a second. On the BBC Live,
yes.
That's going rogue, I suppose, all right, because he said a naughty word. Is that the point?
He said F the address, basically. Oh, now, everybody, including David Hepworth, who's written about this extensively, it's brilliant, and you were doing the RT broadcast for radio. Were you at TV at the time? You were there.
I was
anyway.
Doing stuff. No,
you're
I was,
at Wembley.
No, I was here.
Oh, you were here.
I was doing the Live 8s and the other ones.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the 2005, 2006,
So Hepworth is there, right, and he's obviously written about it, because the myth, you know, no one knew how big Live 8 was going to be. The BBC didn't want a telethon. Yeah, they didn't want a children in need. They didn't.
It just got bigger and bigger by the hour, and suddenly became 10 times bigger than it had been the day before.
100%. Yeah. Exactly. And this is kind of one of the key moments. Whatever about U2, whatever about Queen and all that sort of stuff, the entertainment was there. This was the bit where people were guilted into kind of thinking, well, I've watched 5 hours of this now. I probably should pick up the phone and pledge the pocket money or whatever. So give us our, no, F the address is kind of what he actually said, because he wanted people to pick up the phone. Everyone said, including David Hepworth, said the next day he interviewed cricket legend Viv Richards, and all Viv Richards wanted to talk to him about was, what about when Gerlof went, give us your effing money, which became the play it again, Sam. He never said it, but you know, it's what people remember in their brains.
What are you telling me? He never said it. I just
he
heard
never
him.
Said, no, he said F the address. He never said, give us your effing money, which is the phrase.
Semantics. That, he said it.
Well.
Come on,
lawyers.
Bob.
Go on. Good man Bob is right. Raise
the
fortune.
All right, give me another one.
Okay, this is one from this year. Why not? And let's go to Zambia and KBN News. This is something, I don't know, if you've ever worked in a TV or media outlet.
In Zambia, I haven't.
And perhaps not been paid.
Abso-blinking-lutely.
So now, so what does he do? He starts off, this is Kabinda Kalamina, and it's in June 2021, that's this year. He interrupted his live broadcast. He starts off giving the news, etc., etc., as you'll hear, and then reveals that he and his colleagues haven't been paid. Watch out.
Away from the news, ladies and gentlemen, we are human beings. We have to get paid. Unfortunately, on KBN, we haven't been paid. We have to get paid.
So he specifically points out this KBN, which is now famous all over the world.
Exactly. This is the Kenmark Broadcasting Corporation. Yeah. If you consult his LinkedIn page, it says he's still a journalist employed by the Kenmark Broadcasting Corporation. Mm. But he hasn't updated his page lately or recently, so who knows? Anyway, his bosses weren't very happy. What I love about that clip, though, is when you listen to it without seeing the pictures, you hear this dramatic music coming up afterwards. So it sounds terribly sympathetic, but actually it's them cutting away to kind of the sig tune, the rolling kind of idents and all that sort of stuff. But because it's news in 2021, it's all moody.
Did he get paid?
I can't find out, so I don't know, but he hasn't updated his LinkedIn page recently.
Is he alive?
I can't say, Dave. Right. I cannot say.
Okay, give us another one.
Right, what about Simon McCoy?
I love Simon McCoy. Did you ever see, and not the shortened version, but the long version of when he's talking about a musician out in Thailand who's playing music for monkeys?
No.
And they see all the monkeys around his head and around the piano and everything else, and he starts laughing because he has to read the next line. Last year, he played music for elephants, and it's just, he can't keep it at all. It's fantastic.
Simon McCoy, and if you've ever watched it...
That's not the bit you're showing, I suppose.
No, it's not. No, this is a bit more kind of sensitive to BBC mores, but Simon McCoy was one of the great one of those stalwarts of BBC rolling news, BBC News 24. If you ever watch a clip show, a blooper show on the BBC, 80% of the clips come from you know, ad-libbing and technical.
But they're
mess-ups.
Not bloopers as such.
No. But this is his opinion. But that, you know what I mean? Because it's 24-hour news and because they're so trained in the BBC way,
of course,
you assume them to be proper. So when they go rogue, as Simon does a couple of times in relation to all these royal news tittle tattle.
He's
not a royal fan at all, which is funny when you consider now he's left the BBC and gone to GB News, the very right-wing channel. Yeah. Anyway, there are many, many clips. Play one there. I'm sure we can list some of his kind of opinions.
Simon McCoy.
Yep. Just got this coming in from Kensington Palace, news we just got. Their Royal Highnesses, the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, are delighted to confirm they are expecting a baby in April. Now, bearing in mind they announced that she was pregnant back in September, and it was thought she was around 2 or 3 months pregnant. I'm not sure how much news this really is. But anyway, it's April, so clear your diaries, get the time booked off, because that's what I'm doing. And, anyway, that news just coming in from Kensington Palace. You're watching Afternoon Live.
I love the way he laughs at the end. Go to YouTube after this programme if you want some more Simon McCoy. There's also him outside. I'm not sure if it's that baby. One of the royal births. He's standing outside the hospital. Can't think of the name of the hospital. And he kind of goes, well, there's literally no news here from outside. Yeah. Insert name of hospital. And I'm not surprised because that'll all come from Buckingham Palace, not here. But however, I'm here. So come back to me whenever.
I was sent here by the BBC.
Exactly.
Okay, the great Simon McCoy. Who else is there?
Let's do, what about a... when you get one of the world's biggest musicians to take part in a fundraiser, in an actual telethon. I am, of course, talking about Kanye West, and 2005 was the fundraiser for Hurricane Katrina. And we all remember this because he's standing on screen side by side with, what do you call him, Mike Myers, Austin Powers, etc., etc. And they're delivering their scripted piece, you know, kind of trying to encourage people to phone in, not quite Geldof-esque, but Mike Myers does his lines as instructed, and then Kanye goes off script and kind of derides the media's treatment of, you know,
so not the kind of place to be doing this, is
no. Well, yeah. You see, it's kind of it's touchy. But what's interesting about this is Kanye, obviously as African American hip hop star, etc., kind of derides the media for its treatment of the racial, you know, implications of how it deals with looters versus people searching for food, as he says here, and. The directors and the vision mixers all leave him on screen, goes back to Mike Myers, he gives it kind of his own, goes back on script, and then Kanye delivers an absolute zinger.
And subtle, but in even many ways more profoundly devastating, is the lasting damage to the survivors' will to rebuild and remain in the area. The destruction of the spirit of the people of southern Louisiana and Mississippi may end up being the most tragic loss of all.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
And then they cut away from him. Then they cut away from him.
Right.
No, it was a very kind of heartfelt and honest plea, which is, I think, why the producers went with him. He was kind
Didn't
of saying,
George Bush
these are black
later
people.
Answer that.
Yeah, he does. And, but what is great, because you remember this FEMA, do you remember the whole kind of controversy and the lateness with which the actual kind of the state of emergency was declared, or at least the federal troops
came
in.
Some of the details are not great.
They're not good at all. But also the myth stories, the negative stories that came out about survivors, particularly African Americans in the football stadium and all that sort of stuff. So it was pretty much on point, kind of a la The Simpsons. Do you remember The Simpsons lampooned his dad? Do you remember many, many years before? Anyway, that was kind of Kanye cutting to the chase. They cut off him and went to Chris Tucker, who looked startled.
Okay, Philip Schofield.
Yes. Now there, here's a man, a rebel. Was it Van thing or was it Eric Clapton said, "Where have all the rebels gone?" Philip Schofield on this morning, the Cuddly This Morning program. He has a bit of form here as well, like Simon McCoy with the Royals. Philip Schofield is no fan of Donald Trump, or at least was no fan of Donald Trump. And do you remember when Trump was kind of suggesting that we kind of blast light into our bodies and perhaps imbibe?
Oh, yeah.
Bleach and disinfectant.
I bought a whole thing of toilet duck. Didn't work.
Go on.
It's incredible to think that anyone who could stand in front of that mighty White House sign could be so stupid. Since then, the American president has defended his comments, calling them sarcastic, even though they were unbelievably dangerous. But despite the shocking remarks, just how should you use disinfectant effectively and safely during lockdown?
You see, what you're talking about here is
my
like,
favourite bit there, by the way. Go on, you go first.
No, it's just that, like, it's context. Like, there'll be some programmes like Question Time where you'd be expected to say at the very least what all these
Well, if you're a TV presenter, you're not meant to editorialise, though, are you?
But
like, Simon McCoy probably
like,
wasn't
so it's
meant
where
to
you are
rip the mickey
what programme you're actually presenting. And it's like, that's why all these are a shocker.
Yes, exactly, right. Exactly. But this is cuddly Philip Schofield sitting next to Holly Willoughby on This Morning or Good Morning or whatever it's called on ITV. You don't don't expect him to come down.
Donald Trump is going to do that to everybody at some stage.
Annoy them, fry their brains.
Finally, he'll crack.
But what I love about that, and it's only when you hear it again in context, is they're talking about Donald Trump, and they did show the bit where he turns to Fauci. It wasn't Fauci, it was whoever the expert was.
The woman over on the right.
She's her barely concealed
like
contempt.
Looking at him going, oh my God, he's the president, but actually he's 100%, 120% crazy.
Do you remember, it's like, and you can look into that, right, the light, and you can look into the whole kind of, you know, disinfected. But then Philip Schofield ends, because you realise, okay, he's giving it, God, sounds a bit weird. And then he goes, well, now that we are talking about disinfected, how do you properly use disinfected?
Oh, really?
That was the last bit of the clip.
Fantastic.
So not only did he give out, they also got an item out of it.
Yeah, right,
it's a bit fridge or press, if you ask me. But
John Brown.
John Brown. This is fantastic. This is one of my favourites now. Fox 25 News, doesn't matter, 2015. He's, again, like BBC Rolling News, Fox News tends to throw up a bunch of these kind of clips. I don't know how you feel about the Kardashians, Dave.
Whatever. I don't know enough about them.
They're good.
Oh, my God, I'm on 2FM and I said that. Sacrilege.
Well, you can walk out next. Because John Brown walked out live on air and during Good Day Orlando on Fox 35 News in 2015 when, and if you watch this clip on YouTube, the caption on screen is Kylie Jenner purchases new rabbit and is going to call her
what?
Yeah, exactly. Play the clip. It's very funny.
They bought a new rabbit.
This is his breaking point. Okay, she buys, Kylie buys a rabbit.
Fantastic. I'm with you, John Brown.
Okay, I'm having a good Friday, so I refuse to talk about the Kardashians today. You are on your own, Amy. I can't do it. I've had enough Kardashians. I can't take any more Kardashian stories on this show.
Okay, well, we got to get it in now because you mentioned it, John. Kylie Jenner got a new... So Kylie Jenner got a
Let me ask
rabbit.
You this, John.
Oh, he left.
I don't care. This family, I'm sick of this family.
But do you think...
I can't take it anymore.
Is there something psychological behind this?
It's like a non-story. It's a non-story. We're talking about this family every freaking day on this show. Nobody cares about them. It's enough of these guys.
I'm sorry, Jenny, that you had to wait.
Oh, okay, so we got a new rabbit. That's brilliant news.
Kylie got a new rabbit, and she was going to call it, what you call it, Bruce.
Right, Bruce the
rabbit. Which is the name of her dad.
Right,
before.
before all changes took place. Okay, so like, I mean...
Now, he claimed he was being sarcastic a little bit, but I'm not sure he was. What do you reckon?
He just broke.
Yep.
Yeah. In the same way
as
Philip Schofield broke.
in the face of the Kardashians.
There comes a time when one needs
to
stand
up. He probably
didn't
go to journalism school to host a story called Kylie Jenner Buys New Rabbit.
Yeah, right. Okay.
We all have our breaking
Abby
point.
Martin?
Abby Martin, speaking of journalism school, this is another trained journalist in America. She was a host on Russia Today. This is a bit murky because anything to do with Russia Today, it always comes with a bit of a kind of a warning, I suppose. State funded, as we know, broadcast all throughout the world. She was a US anchor. She had previously, interesting if you look into her background, been a 9/11 truther. She disavowed that later on. She hosted a show which also looked at fluoridation as a government plot on Russia Today, and her show Breaking the Set opened with her taking a sledgehammer to CNN. Anyway, she went off script in 2014 after Russia's annexation of the Crimea, and she is still alive. She's happily.
Was she reading the news? Was this a news program or something?
This is a news program. Right. She closed out. Now, what's interesting about this is, again, with conspiracy theories, this is a program that dealt with conspiracy theories. We all think, okay, the invisible hand of Putin and the Kremlin, et cetera, et cetera, and Russia Today being their official kind of organ throughout the world. She goes off script, supposedly, and yet she's delivering it word for word, clearly from a teleprompter, Dave, as you'll hear here.
So she went off script beforehand, wrote it, put it up there.
Exactly,
all right, okay, here it goes. Right, okay.
Before we wrap up the show, I wanted to say something from my heart about the ongoing political crisis in Ukraine and Russia's military occupation of Crimea. Just because I work here for RT doesn't mean I don't have editorial independence. And I can't stress enough how strongly I am against any state intervention in a sovereign nation's affairs. What Russia did is wrong. All we can do now is hope for a peaceful outcome for a terrible situation and prevent another full-blown Cold War between multiple superpowers. Until then, I'll keep telling the truth as I see it. Have a good night, everyone.
Yeah, say something from my heart. You're not meant to do that in those programs. That's it, really.
Yeah, sort of. But then that's kind of what a lot of kind of rolling news has devolved into, hasn't it?
And
again, Philip Schofield, and again, even Anton Deck. It's kind of become the currency of modern
television. What about
Jeremy Paxman? Well, who doesn't love Jeremy Paxman?
Will I put my head? No,
Go on, you love University Challenge. Dave. I know that.
Yeah, our family. It's a weird thing. Monday night, 8:30, University Challenge.
Love it.
If we get one right, we're made for the week. If I understand one.
Oh no! Do you know? I just realised again this year they won't have the Christmas University Challenges with the professionals coming back to their alma mater because the COVID. They didn't do it last year either. Anyway. Thanks to the internet and its like, basically, Newsnight used to end, kids, gathered around the wireless, with the markets report. You know, very stuffy, very Paxman, very BBC. This is, we're talking about 2005 here. Until the kind of the new editor decided we'll shake it up a bit and we'll end Newsnight with the weather. So the thinking was, you know, you can get your market stuff if you're into it on your phone or whatever, your tablet, and the weather.
You can get the weather there too.
Well, you can. That's the argument I would make, and certainly the argument Jeremy Paxman
made. There is a thing like the amount of, like, I can understand farmers and fishermen and all the rest of it, but the weather, like, you know,
shipping forecast.
Yeah, you can get it on everything, you know. And you know the long range weather forecast, because Mizzenhead is always very falling far away. Slowly.
Yeah.
And all this, it's like,
but they've got a song out of it though.
Yeah, I know that is. Yeah, but I mean, seriously, like, do we really, like, in 2021, like, can you not just get it somewhere else?
Did you ever see the episode of Black Books for France?
I didn't.
Gets kind of slightly titillated by the shipping forecast.
I didn't. Go on. Anyway, so Jeremy Paxman, Newsnight. What was he doing?
Jeremy Paxman, Newsnight. He was forced.
He wanted the markets.
He wanted
the
markets
and
the weather, so he had to do the weather.
All right, okay. So he had to do the weather. Here he is.
And now, on the theory that while some people are interested in the markets, everyone's interested in the weather, here it is. Shorn of the usual folksy nonsense about clouds bubbling up and advice about wearing woolly socks. Eastern parts will mainly avoid the rain, except for those that don't. Western areas will be cloudy with rain, except in those places that don't have rain. And finally, by popular demand, the second Newsnight weather forecast. Take an umbrella with you tomorrow. And finally, controversially, to tomorrow's weather forecast. It's a veritable smorgasbord. Sun, rain, thunder, hail, snow, cold, winds.
Okay, hold on one second. Who's the audience?
No, that's obviously taken from a clip show.
Oh,
that was looking back on it.
Sorry.
But they are genuine Paxman
never
clips.
Never knew Newsnight had a big funny audience. Okay.
You can hear the canned laughter, though.
Yeah,
I've worked with canned laughter a lot. That was not well done. Mm-hmm. What I will say about Paxman, though, he did sign off, I think it was 2014, his 25-year stint on Newsnight with...
Sorry, I'm looking at this thing here.
Okay.
I'll start that again. Listen to you.
In
Christmas University Challenge 2021 will be on our TVs on Monday, 20th of December. That'll be tomorrow
week. Oh, fantastic.
Week. BBC Two from 8:30 with Jeremy Paxman. Now, what were you
saying? New ones, I hope, because they're repeated. Well, they're always good. Robin, you know, there's always kind of 12 days of Christmas questions.
What were you saying there?
Okay, Jeremy Paxman, right. Yeah. He signed off his 25-year stint at Newsnight.
Yeah.
They kind of cut to the credits and stuff, and then they cut to the channel ident BBC or BBC Two, yeah, and then the weather logo, and then who stepped out to give the weather?
I don't know.
Jeremy Paxman.
Very good.
You did know, Dave. Come on, you can see what.
Okay, tell
going.
Me about Charlo Green. Let's go faster on some of these. Go ahead.
Charlo Green, this is a American station in Alaska. She hosted, this is a very strange one, she hosted a report on the Alaskan Cannabis Growers Club and then revealed that she was the owner of said organisation and that she quit on television. Bizarre. Just go and get people
because
legal
was,
cannabis in Alaska.
Because she was asked to do this item,
she
does
did the
item and
didn't
while
let
she's
on.
Doing it, she admitted that she runs the company and left.
Yeah, and then left.
Okay.
This is very bizarre.
Now, everything you heard is why I, the actual owner of the Alaska Cannabis Club, will be dedicating all of my energy toward fighting for freedom and fairness, which begins with legalizing marijuana here in Alaska. And as for this job, well, not that I have a choice, but I quit.
All right, we apologize for that.
She did say F it, I quit, by the way.
Oh, really? Oh, right, I see.
So it's very strange, and I'm not really entirely sure, given the amount of reading that I've done on it, but why? She was asked to do this
report.
She
was leaving anyway.
She was leaving anyway, basically. But she left in a very dramatic fashion. And by the way, if you're running a business, you know, good publicity.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Piers Morgan.
Yeah, do we have to? I suppose we do. Go on.
What did he do?
Oh, what didn't he do, Dave? What didn't he do? Anyway, this is when he was hosting Good Morning Britain. He ran over. We have all run over in our time. And he decided to take out the earpiece. Now, again, with Piers Morgan, it's kind of like, oh, I'm making a point. Oh, I'm on the viewer's side. Oh, I'm gas crack. But really, are you gas crack, Piers? You know, because he doesn't sound like he's just making a joke out
Here
of it.
Does.
Anyway, he kind of, you know, he just basically gives
it. Apparently, with 10 minutes over on the programme.
We are now the length of a Bond film.
When they say that to us in our ears, right, they all go, you're 10 minutes over, 10 minutes over. It doesn't matter.
They mean stop talking.
Right? The show's always 2.5 hours and it will be whatever we decide it's going to be. And if you've got your carefully crafted segments, when you can stick in where the sun don't shine.
There you go.
Because we're having a bit of fun.
Okay.
Good man. Is he having a bit of fun?
Andrew Johnson, what
is this? I love this one. This is a bit of a blooper one, but I do love it very much, and I think it'll put a smile on people's faces. This is a fella up in Vancouver Island in Canada, in British Columbia, on CTV Canada. And 2012, they do a report on this location where couples used to come to canoodle. He thinks he knows what the word canoodle means. He then turns to the weather presenter and suggests something a bit off colour and proves that he doesn't know what canoodle means.
Or does.
Well, it's time now for a full look at your forecast with Astrid. Maybe we can canoodle before you get into it about...
We're not going to be canoodling. What?
Oh, I thought canoodle meant chat. Astrid, okay. You're lucky there's a producer in my ear. I would have carried that on and on.
You know what? You just made the blooper reel. Good job, Andrew. Classic.
Take it away. Get me off camera.
Oh, this is too much fun.
He pulled back a little. He kind of did it finally. Okay, tell me, give me a last one.
A last one. We've had enough TV people. Radio is the medium of choice for the better broadcaster, as you know. This is my favourite on-air resignation. She was lowly paid. She was working in a radio station in Alabama. KBLX is the call letters there. This is 2006. This is Ionetta, the mood setter. I'm trying to find out where she is. Lately.
Sorry, what did you say? This is Ionetta, the mood setter.
Ionetta is her name. I-N-E-T-T-A. Ionetta, the mood setter. See what I did there? She worked there for, was it 6 years? $6 an hour? That's not enough, Dave. She basically decided she was leaving with the immortal lines. Well, I let her say it.
Okay. Owen, good man yourself. Thank you very much indeed. Let's hear it from Ionetta.
Ionetta, the mood setter. Come on, Dave Fanning.
Ionetta will not be setting the mood at BLX no more. I refuse to walk around with people that'll speak to you. Hey, Ionetta, how you doing? But then as soon as you walk by that... I will not do it to myself anymore. So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this.
On the big station, 93 BLX.
I love it. By the way, that last word was bitch that was taken out. She quits this bitch.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.